The sermon text is taken from the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy, reading from verses 13 through 21. Deuteronomy 11, reading from verses 13 to 21. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth.
I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and also Bethelites in Melbourne also send their greetings to you. We remember you almost every Friday when we pray. And we also remember Far Eastern Bible College, a college that God has established and raised. And I believe with all my heart that God will preserve this solid college. For many years, young men have come and studied and have graduated and gone back to their various countries. And through their ministry, the word has been preached, the gospel that has been proclaimed. Many people in those countries have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and our churches are established there too, to the praise and glory of his name. How wonderful. And I believe that God, who is the one who established that church, and Christ being the head, will continue to strengthen that college to his glory. I have chosen a passage concerning love, the love of God. Now, it is a very common passage. And some of you may think that, why speaking this thing again about loving God? We all know about that. Actually, there's no problem with regard to reading the passage again. The problem is with us. We know it, but what is the problem? The problem is that while we know that we should love God with all our heart, our soul, our might and strength, we only know it as a textbook knowledge. We never apply in our lives. I ask you, you sit down there, you ask yourself, you know that we ought to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our strength, Almighty. How do you fare? Ask yourself. You don't have to tell your friend. How do you fare? Each time I read it, in fact, I read it more times than you. And each time I read, I ask myself. And sometimes you do find that we fall short of what God has called us to. And when we fall short of that, our love for God, when we've fallen short of that, the other things also collapse. Our love for others also collapse. So it is very important that we revisit this concerning love. Not the love of God, but the word itself, love. There are three words in Greek literature. One is eros. That's eros with a sexual connotation. But it is, this word is never used in the Bible. The other one is phileo, or love between friends. And the third one is agape. And that's a love that the Bible speaks of. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world. And that word is agape. It's a self-sacrificing love. Self-giving love. And so it is important that we know about this love and how we love our God. What does the Bible speak about loving God and loving others? There are three kinds of love that the Bible speaks of. Three kinds. The first one is to love God. We have just read the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Even in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, also you have that. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, as it says there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And so the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry also repeated that we should love. Someone asked him, a lawyer asked the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the greatest commandment on this earth? The greatest commandment on this earth is to love the Lord God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy spirit, thy strength. God whom we cannot see, but we believe there is God. And if anyone here who is not a believer, who does not believe that there is a God, then God says he's a fool. He's a fool. Because if you can see what the evidence of everything around this world, it is impossible for the person not to believe that there is God. Nothing all happens by chance or by just nature or just happens like that. Nothing. But there is God. So a person who does not believe that there is a God who says no God is a fool. And here God tells us that we have to love him although we cannot see him. But he is there. The other type of love is a love of the neighbor. Love thy God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. But under this category, which is the second commandment, we divide that group of people, the neighbors, into two. One is fellow Christians. The other group is unbelievers or unbelievers. So love fellow Christians, that is the second kind of love. And then love unbelievers. That is the third kind. The Bible speaks of this. So before we go to examine each one briefly and rightly, maybe we should look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There's a classic chapter on the definition of love, Paul says. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And then let me read to you beginning from verse 4 to 7. 1 Corinthians chapter. And it says, verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now you find that this is a definition of a love, but it refers more to a personal love. personal thing. Our character is personally towards us. A person should exhibit this. In fact, the word love, where love is the preeminent Christian grace. It is the hallmark of a Christian character. Every one of us, every Christian must show this love. A Christian is love. This is our characteristic, our main character. Alright, you can see that. He all talks about being patient with others, being kind to others, being forbearing, being forgiving. This is part of our character. But what today we want to talk about is these three kinds of love. The love for God must come first. We have read the passage with regard to love of God. Do you love God? Yes. You will answer yes. Then how do we love God? How? It is an agape love. It's not sentimental. It's not saying, Lord, I love you. Just like a man or woman who sometimes, you know, they express that kind of love towards one another. That's sentiments. Very sentimental. In fact, they all should stop this kind of thing. Once, if they are attracted, they can say these things first. But we should move up to agape love. When a man or woman tells another person that I agape love you, and that's a better kind of love. It's a self-sacrificing love. Not a sentimental kind of love. And so this love of God, our love for God, is that kind of agape love, a self-giving love. Now, how do we show that love? You see, this is the problem. We know we ought to love God. I accept that. I can say that. I can declare that. But how? The problem is how do I practice it? Do I show? What does God require of you and me to show that we really love Him and He sees that, He accepts it? He says, that's good, that's correct. Well, He says, with all our heart, our soul, our spirit, our whole being, yes, we agree with that. But in practical terms, what is it? The one important thing is this. And God says that if you love me, you will worship me. You look at just now, back to Deuteronomy chapter 11, and you look at verse 16 there, because in the first part of verse 13, the Lord has said that, I command this day to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. And then verse 15, and it says that, I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle and for thy... verse 15 there, babies eat and be full. And verse 16, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. So God tells us not to worship other gods or other things. Now worship is the highest form of expressing one's love. And so if we say that we love God, then we must show it by worshipping God. Do you worship God? How do you worship God? And what are the other facets of worshipping God? And you will find that in that verse 13 there, where it says that when you love God, it says that you should serve Him. And the word serving Him is an expression or a description of that worship. To serve Him is to obey Him. Love God, obey Him, and worship Him. And how do we worship Him? In what sense? How do we worship Him? Jesus Christ says that God seeketh people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. What do you mean by worship in spirit? God is a spirit. We cannot see Him. But there's a tendency for us always to worship something that we can see. The Israelites, they want to worship. They made a calf and worshiped that calf and say that is God. That's wrong, because there's a tendency for us to look around for things to worship them. But God says that He seeks those who worship in spirit, because God is spirit. We can't see God. God is spirit. And so when we worship Him, we must worship in spirit, understanding that He is there. You can't see Him, but He is there by faith, by the eyes of faith. You accept and understand that He is there, and you worship Him. And then in truth that in the sense that all that God has revealed concerning Himself, and you believe it, and you worship in accordingly. So God is the Almighty God, the Creator, Sovereign, Almighty God. He reveals to us that He made you and I. We are His creatures. He's our Creator. That's the truth. And so when we come before Him in spirit, to worship in spirit, because He is spirit, realizing that He is there, believing that He is there, and that He is the Almighty God, and He is the Almighty God, and is the Holy God, as He said, is the God of love. He hates sin. All this we understand from Scripture. We come before Him in spirit, believing He is there. We don't seek anything that is concrete in order to remind us that God is there. No, we come in spirit that God is there. And then in truth, what He has revealed to us, in that set of mind and heart, we come before Him. We believe that. More practical terms. Every Lord's Day we keep the Sabbath. That's what God says. We should keep this day holy unto Him. And the service is the meeting with God, is the worship service here, meeting God, is at night. At 10:30. At what time were you here this morning or every Sunday? If God has accepted that timing, that set time, He is here. Do you believe? You don't see Him, but He is here. Because He is righteous. You set the time, 10:30, He is here. And if you really worship Him, you honor Him, you love Him, you want to obey Him, this is He, then you will come here early, at least 15 minutes earlier. I just attended a wedding dinner, and the guest of honor was Senior Minister Ho Chok Tong. And he's supposed to, where the dinner is supposed to be 7:30, but he came at 8:30. And so sometimes, you know, in this kind of wedding dinner, many people also will come late. But they knew that SM will come, would be there. And so before he appears, he come. Before he came at 8:30, all of us were told to be seated. All of us were seated. And then just before he came, well, he arrived. And then when he arrived, we were all told, announced to stand up to welcome him. So we all stood up and welcomed him. So it had to take some time for him to come out by the lift. So we waited until he came. Then we clapped our hands. Now my point is this, that with a human dignitary, we give that kind of respect. What about God? Your Creator, my Creator, our Lord, who loved us and spared not His Son to die for us, in order to save us. And every Sunday He said, keep that holy day holy unto Him. And we come here, our time. The time of meeting is 10:30, but we come in our time. Songs have been sung, and then we are late. You think God is pleased? Or you say, never mind, God understands. See, we excuse ourselves. God understands. Never mind. God, you understand. It's terrible. It's wrong. That's why you and I have people who behave that way. That's why our Christian life has no power. No power at all. Turn to John chapter 14, verse 21. Turn to it. John chapter 14, verse 21. Take your time. You can mark it down, this one, John 14:31. He that hath my commandments, the Lord Jesus Christ says, he that hath my commandments, and his commandments are all inside here, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, that means obeying them. If we love God, we obey God, and God's commandments are all here. He that hath them, it is he that loveth me. I love God, I said. I love God, and if you don't come in time to meet Him, to worship Him, then you are really not expressing your true love. No. If you know my commandment, you keep it, you love God, you want to come in time to worship Him truly in spirit and in truth. God says here in this verse here, it is He that loved me. Then God says that you are the one who truly loved me. Now you go on, look at this next part there. And he that loveth me, yeah, you are the one who loved God, because you keep His commandments. You obey Him. You respect Him. You fear Him. You honor Him. With all your heart, with all your mind, your strength, yes, come early. Come in time. With all the spirit, yes, you walk with the spring. You don't drag your feet. It is He. You are the one who loves God. And what God says, what? He that loveth me shall be loved by my Father. My Father will love him. You see? God will love you. And then what is further on? And I, Jesus Christ says, that He and I will love Him. Christ says here, I will love Him. Not only the Father is loved of the Father, but that means God's favor will be upon Him. And here Christ says that He will love Him and will manifest myself to Him. The word manifest means to show Himself to you, to make known Himself to you. In your life, your daily life, the Lord will show you. You will realize it. You know that the Lord is with you. So this is the first love. The love of God. You love God. Then you must obey His commandments. You must respect Him. You must serve Him. That's obey. Give your whole life, body, your whole life to Him. And God loves you. When you do that, God accepts you. In everything that we do, God accepts you. When you first believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, were you very excited? When I believed, when I was 15 and a half years old, I believed. Although there was a certain sense of awe, fear of the Lord, yet in my heart there was joy, excitement. I want to have a Bible. I don't have a Bible. I want to have a Bible, to possess a Bible. I want to read. And there were moments after that period when I first believed that there was this particular fear because of my parents. But after that, I overcome it. There was joy. There was excitement. I want to go to church every Sunday. I want to meet Christian friends. If there's any kind of activity that the church organized at that time, I want to be part of it. I want to be there. And my mind was just filled with the Lord Jesus Christ and God, and to be with His people. That was the first thing. Do you have that kind of experience too? I hope you have. Well, I can say that first love of God and embrace Him with all our heart, that's our first love. That's what Jesus Christ rebuked the Christians in Ephesus, that you have lost your first love. Have you lost your first love? That you now take, we all now take God for granted. Lord, you understand why I am late. My children cannot get up early. Children cannot get up early. Then what do? Get them up. Right? You get them up to go to school. In Australia, you have to wake them up at 5:30. 5:30 a.m. In Australia also, those people who go to work, they have to wake up very early in order to catch the train. 5:30. Get up, prepare their breakfast, 6 o'clock to catch the train to go to work. One train, two train, three train to get in time. Come Sunday, it's a holiday, not holiday, holiday. I can sleep in and then go late. $9.25, the sanctuary is half filled. The service at 9:30. 9:25, half filled. 9:40, or more. 9:45, 9:50, almost all filled. You see? And you expect God to bless you, to love you, to manifest Himself to you? No. And when you are sick, you will go and cry to the Lord, Lord, please help me, please heal me, please this. You need to a job, you ask people, could you please pray for me? I need this job. Today I'm going for this interview. Please pray for me. And you expect God to answer. How do you love God? How do I love God? How? You fear Him with all your heart. You serve Him. You worship Him in spirit and in truth. All right, that brings us to the next kind of love, which is linked to the first love. If you love God whom you cannot see, where you know that it's by faith that God is there, and you worship in spirit and truth, you love Him in that way. We don't want anything before us. God did not ask to love things, you know, so we have to love God whom we cannot see. We still have to. He has given us His word. We believe that He's there. Now the next one is again, to love your neighbor as yourself. This is the second great commandment. And I have divided them into two. The first one is to love Christian brothers, fellow Christians. And many of us here are Christians. We are ought to love one another. Now because the Christian religion is an one another religion. Many passages in the scriptures talk about one another. The Lord Jesus Christ first gave the commandment to his disciples in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that all ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." In two verses, you have loved one another, one another, one another. In many other passages, the Christian has been commanded to relate with one another. In Romans 12:10, it says, "Be kindly affectionate one to another, honoring, preferring one another." In Galatians 5:13, "Brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but love serve, but by love serve one another," to serve one another, to help one another, "with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another." In Ephesians 4:32, "Be yet kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another." And in Hebrews chapter 10:24 and 25, I will dwell this one a little more. Let's turn to it. Hebrews 10:24-25. Hebrews 10:24-25 is also a very familiar passage. We learn it so well. We know it so well. But what it says here, "But let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So how do Christians relate with one another? To provoke one another to love. Stir that love we have in us. The love that first speaks of us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The love we all have. Because the hallmark of a Christian's character is love. Provoke one another means to stir that love in us for one another. Provoke one another to love and to what? Good works. And what are the good works? I've just read a series of passages from the Word of God there. To be kind to one another, to forgive one another, to be affectionate to one another, to help one another, to serve one another. What's the negative? To talk back. To whisper against another. It's all wrong. It's all not right. Not pleasing in God's sight. And that's how we should treat one another. Are we doing that? How wonderful it is, huh? How wonderful. You just imagine if we really do all that. When I come in, or when you, any one of us come in, and you look at another brother, there is smiling, there's smile, there's joy, and you straight away know that I know he loves me and I love him. So we help one another. We are sensitive to one another's needs. We just say, "How are you?" And then when you say, "How are you?" please stand there and wait for the person to reply. Don't say, "How are you?" and then you walk past the fella. That's my experience in church at one time. This man, who is a Christian, he says that he's a Christian, a leader of the church. Every time he comes, "How are you, Pastor? How are you, Pastor?" He walked past before I can answer, "How am I?" He just walked past me. It was one time very bad. I was very bad. He takes me so often, and then there was a brother here. Maybe I shouldn't have done. Well, I told him, see. I said, "You know, this so-and-so is coming, he's going to ask me, how am I?" and he's going to walk past me. But I'm going to tell him that, you know, I'm quite sad today. But he's going to walk past me. So he came. Pastor, how are you? Before I could answer, he walked past. He didn't shake my hand. Pastor, how are you? And he walked past. How? We must love one another. You really must be sensitive to one another's needs. You know, what kind of, this church that God has built, is unique now. Our relationship is unique. The community is unique, you know. You cannot find in any other places or other communities, or other groups, only here. And you want to behave like them? No, we are different. How are you means how are you? You got problems? Well, you see a certain person's face very troubled. Hey, brother, I see your face troubled. Be like Joseph. Joseph saw the baker and the butler face so very, very sad. And then Joseph say, how are you? And then he walk away. And he say, it's a butler. And they express. Precisely, we should be like that. That is loving one another. Provoke one another to love and good works. And there are many instances in the Bible that tells us that. If you don't have money, you what? You use what? Strength. Like a Chinese saying, 没有钱出力. That's why you don't have money, you can help. You have energy, strength, you can help. You can. That's what it should be. Loving one another. That's the second kind of love. Now the third kind of love. Is to love unbelievers. How do you love unbelievers? But God so loved the world. Yeah, the world there means both. The whole, all the inhabitants in the world. God loves them. For God so loved the world that he gave not, he spared not his son. To die for the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ says what? For the Son of Man is come to save and to seek and to save that which was lost. What is the greatest gift? Help. To an unbeliever. What is the greatest help? The greatest. The most valuable. The most precious. Is it to help him with all the material needs? What does the Bible say about material needs? I mean material possessions that you have. You have a lot of money. You want to give the person everything. No point. If he is able even to, if you are able even to have the whole world, alright, no need to have the whole world. Have the whole of Singapore. How much is Singapore worth? $1 trillion? That means 1 million. Assume now, okay, that Singapore is worth 1 trillion, 1 million. You all know better. You own the whole of Singapore, and here you have an unbeliever. Don't worry, I am rich. I can supply you anything, everything. Is that enough? What is more precious than that $1 trillion worth of goods? What is more precious than that? His soul. Why? Because his soul lives forever and ever and ever. What's the use to have $1 trillion and your life is only what? 70, 3 score and 10 plus another 10? or plus another 10, added one, come on, 90. But one day you have to go, when you're 1 trillion, you cannot take one penny with you. In fact, you go naked. As Job said, naked I come to this world, naked I go. You can't take one penny. And when your soul goes where? There are only two places, heaven and hell. And if you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart, you are not saved. You'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. That's how precious a soul is, because our soul is made in the image of God is to live forever. And so what is the best thing to give to a non-believer and unchristian? What is the love? You love. You are asked to love an unbeliever. How do you love him? Do you love him because you submit to him? No. Even though the fellow is wrong, you submit to him? No. We don't know what is right and wrong. You love him by giving him what? The gospel. Only you can give the gospel. Nobody can. Only you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. No other people can. You who know the truth, only you can tell him. You can tell him that there is God. Yeah, once I talked to a doctor, intelligent man. His wife told me that his wife is a Christian. A pastor, he doesn't believe there is God. So one day I went with him for a walk. And so I was told that, you say that there is no God. Yeah, I said. The next word I say, you are a fool. I say, no, I say, the Bible says, you are a fool. And I begin to talk to him. I say, why do you believe there's no God? He say, you believe in evolution. You believe in evolution? He say, so let me tell you my own simple layman knowledge evolution. I said, you mean, this is what you mean, isn't it? I put a stone in the tin can, cigarette tin can, and cover it up. No. How many years you want? 100 years? 1,000 years? 1,000,000 years? 6,000,000 years? And then when I pick up, pop, a frog jumps out. You believe that? He kept quiet, of course. And said, I believe that there is God. There's design in this world. I said, you're a doctor. How about a human body? All the DNA and everything. All in place. Even our body is so strong, you know, can fight all the attacks, the diseases and all that. This all come up by chance? Like this one? He was dumbfounded. I thank God today that he gives some discount already and said that, well, I think there is God, but yet there's still certain things that I need to be convinced that I believe in God. I tell him, no, you cannot be convinced. How can you, as a puny, infinite, as a finite person, to know about God who created the heavens and the earth? Even the zebra stripes also not the same. God created that. You want to find out about God first, this little thing convince you, then you believe in God. That's why God says you're a fool. You can't believe that there's no God. At least you believe there is God, then there's chance to know about God. So what do you tell the other person who is non-Christian? What can you give to him? What's the best thing? You witness Christ to him. That's all. He can be rich. He can have everything. But you witness Christ to him, so that his souls can be saved. And in heaven, and because God used you, he will thank you forever and ever and ever. Because in heaven, he knows the truth. But by that time, it's too late. If you are in heaven, it's alright. But if you are in hell, it's too late. You cannot, no more second chance, no more. So these three kinds of love. But it must start with the first one, the love of God. And then love fellow Christians. Then how do you love non-Christians? This is how you love non-Christians. You tell them about their sins. They need to repent, to confess. And there's God who has spared not His Son. And in our case, for this non-Christian, we should also spare no energy we must do everything that we can to reach out to the person. If you need to spend some time, well, give that time. We need to win that person to let him have a hearing for you. You need to do something, then do it within your means. And I believe with all my heart that if we love God, we love fellow Christians to help, and we love God, we do this in obedience to Him, God will touch the heart of that person. So in life you'll find that this love all relates to people. First God and people, not things, no, only people. Because people are the most precious things in life. I pray, all the members of True Life here, that you look at the years ahead and the years following. Love God. Let us all love God with all our heart. Honor Him, respect Him. And I hope from this day onwards, people will come punctually. Will you? Or you say, I'll think about it. Wow, that's very susah, difficult. You cannot think about it. You must think now. You must decide now. This is the time I made appointment with God. This is the time. 9:30, I must be here by 9:15. Must. If I miss the bus, I'll take the taxi. If I miss the taxi, I run here. To be in time with God. You must decide now. And then you come and there will be the others of open arms. How are you? Don't how are you and look the other side. Beyond the fellow. Yes. We're sensitive to one another's needs. We help one another. And if he's a non-Christian, he has seized that opportunity to share the gospel. May God bless us all. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray, Father, for forgiveness of our sins. Yes, we have confessed that we fall short of what you require of us. We have no excuse, Father. We pray that you will give us, stir our hearts, give us the strength, the courage, Lord, to love you, to serve you, and to do your will. Bless all of us here. And this we pray, giving you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.